We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpot, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Cheskas Metaltelin, Halacha Hei. We're in the appendixes, what Rav Nosson Zal calls Roshe Prokim, at the end of the Halacha. In our volumes, it's page 287, Kuf Mem Dalid, the left-hand column, about a third of the way down the page. Rav Nosson Zal sort of reviewing a little bit some of the things he mentioned earlier in the Halacha. At this point, we're speaking about the holiday of Sukkos. Rav Nosson Zal spoke about the Dalet Minim, the Sukkah, the Schach, the Lulav, the Esroik, the Hadassah Marovois, and now he's mentioning something again about the Esroik, and going to touch on one or two more points about Rosh Hashanah before we close this halacha. V'zeh b'chinas hador b'ilono mishana l'shana. We mentioned earlier that the Gemara says that the Esroig is called in the Chumash pre-eitz Chodor. Chodor means beauty. And the Gemara says that the word Chodor is also Hador, which lives. That the Esroig is different from all other fruit. All other fruit at the end of the season, if you don't pick it, it falls off, it rots, it spoils. The Esroig continues to live on the tree year after year, growing until you remove it. Growing or not continuing to grow. Rav Nosson Zal had said, Bechinas v'Yehoshua b'nun nar Loyomish mitoichoil. The Esroig represents the true student of the Tzaddik who continues to remain loyal and with the Tzaddik throughout. As the Pasuk says, that Yehoshua ben Nun was a youth, he never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ubevadai bepshitus einoy muvan. Rav Nosson Zal says, most definitely on a simple level, this is hard to understand. What do you mean he never left there? He lived there? What about his wife? What about his family? What about his life? He certainly had to eat and to perform bodily functions. So how could you say he never left the tent? What does that mean? Rav Nosson Zal makes it clear. This is a question that anybody that learns Chumash should have a difficulty with that pasuk. And Rav Nosson Zal gives a very important definition here of what's called a true student of a tzaddik and what's called being attached, being connected. Ach migoidel emunosoi, shekol divroi raboi heim rozin. However, because Yehoshua's faith was so strong in that he believed that every word of Moshe Rabbeinu was important, was special, had more to it than meets the eye, that there were secrets there. Al yidei zeh, through that faith, even when Yehoshua was not in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was right there with Moshe Rabbeinu. He was in Moshe Rabbeinu's tent. Because in everything that Yehoshua did, and in every word that he said, he was always remembering Moshe Rabbeinu. He was connected 24/7. V'zeh b'chinas esroig. And this is what the Esroig represents, that the Torah calls it pre-eitz chodor, a beautiful fruit. She'ikar hahidur mashedor be'ilonai. That the beauty of this fruit is its attachment to the tree, that it's always attached to the tree. Bechinas ilono rabo v'yakira, the great precious tree. This is a term that's used in the Zohar HaKadosh about the tzaddikim, about holiness, referred to as this great, great, precious tree. Shehu Rabbi HaKadosh. That's his holy rabbi. Hu Dorboi Mishona L'Shona. And Yehoshua continues to live with him from year to year. Bechinas Loi Moshmi Toicho Holoi. Never leaves, never disconnects. V'Iker. And what's his main connection? Al Yidei Emunas Chachomim Bebechina Hanal. Through the faith that he has in Tzadikim, in the manner that we discussed earlier. Sheyoidea, he knows, Yehoshua knows, shekol dvorov utnuoysov heimaleim rozni loim, that every word and every move that Moshe Rabbeinu did was full of depth, was full of secrets, heavenly secrets. Shaliteze, through that type of emuna, b'chol ma Hashem isnahi gimoi, with everything that goes on in the student's life, in Yehoshua's life, he's constantly reminding himself, remembering, and finding things that his rabbi taught him or things that he saw from his rabbi that lead him, that guide him in all of his decision-making, in everything he does throughout his life. K'meshekosuv b'simen kuf peivov, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 186 in Likutei Moran, Alinyan hachasidim hakshirim shebemedinas kira, regarding the very religious chasidim who live in a particular country. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, and Rabbeinu Zal said these chasidim are privileged to see miracles, and their main strength is their emunas chachamim, that they have this type of emuna in tzaddikim, that they really believe that the tzaddik is way above us, and that every word that comes from him, every action of his, is very deep and special. Another point that Rav Nosson Zal had touched on earlier, v'zeh b'chinas tikkun habris. Rav Nosson Zal connected everything we learned to the topic of tikkun habris. She'ikr ha'tikun tzrichin lahaneshomois de'ozlin artiloin. When we talk about tikkun habris for Klal Yisrael, or for the world, the main tikkun that we're referring to is the tikkun that's needed for those souls that are wandering around without bodies, without kelim, hanifzorim v'hanifoitzim, which are scattered and spread out all over the world as a result of the pegama bris of Jews throughout the generations. Shetzrichin lekabetz nidcheim le'eretz Yisrael, whereby we need to gather in these scattered souls, these lost souls, into Eretz Yisrael. We know one of the famous psukim, Uvo ha'oivdim me'eretz Ashur, v'hanidochim me'eretz Mitzrayim, v'hishtachavu l'ashem b'har ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim. When the Torah describes the coming of Moshiach, one of the main features is this ingathering of the exile on a physical level and also on a spiritual level, gathering in all of these souls that are exiled, that are scattered in all kinds of different places as a result of Pegama Bris specifically. Shebozeh oisek beyoiser hatzadik oemes, and this is the main work that the true tzaddik is involved in accomplishing, al yedei sichoisov hakidoshos, through all of his holy words, the holy things that the tzaddik speaks. Kiheim tzrichin levushin denehirin, because these souls need garments, not just garments, but they need garments of light. Shezeh ikar hatikun. That's the main tikkun of tikkun habris that's needed in the world. That there are souls or parts of souls that are scattered all over, that are not in bodies, that need a tikkun. If a person has a body, then they can do mitzvahs, they can be chozer b'tshuva and everything, but these souls need help from a tzaddik, external help. They can't help themselves in that state. And the tzaddikim, through their Torah, through their avodah and everything, one of the main things they're involved in is recognizing these souls and being able to elevate them. Rabbeinu Zal, when he came to the city of Uman, he said that this was one of the main reasons that he had come there, that there were tens of thousands of souls that were waiting for a tikkun. Next, Rav Nosson Zal had mentioned earlier, Levushe Kitlag Chiver, that there was a vision that one of the prophets had where he saw a heavenly vision, Lelabein Avoinois Yisrael. This refers to whitening the sins of the Jewish people. Our sins are referred to as stains, red stains, black stains, and the process of purification is referred to as a whitening. Bechinas Begodim Levonim Shel HaKohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur. This is also the symbolism in the white garments that the Kohen Gadol wore, especially on Yom Kippur. V'chomesh Po'omim Hoyom Machlif MiBigdei Zohav LeBigdei Lovon. And those that learn Masechta Yuma, which describes the whole avoid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, know that the Kohen Gadol changed his garments from gold to white and white to gold 5 times on Yom Kippur throughout the day. Begodim levonim mekablim kol hagvonim. Rav Nosson Zal tells us we know that the color white is inclusive. It's a composite of all other colors. Val yodom ikar haslicho al hoavonos. And it's through these pure garments that there is the tikkun, the correction of all our sins, Shegormu levushin de kadrunisa, which caused dark garments, which caused the Shechina to be clothed in garments of darkness. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lovshu shomayim kadrus, the heavens have cloaked themselves in blackness, darkness, the sack, and sackcloth as a result of our sins. Again, heaven is supposed to give forth light, the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the light of the stars. The Torah says that chas v'shalom, when we do the wrong things, then lov shu shamayim kadrus, the heavens are dressed in darkness. Ki begodim levonim, because white garments, shemekablin kol mine gvonim, which receive all kinds of colors, misaknin kol ze, they repair all of this damage that's been done from the sins, al yedei hu avoyde shel Yom Kippur, through the special service that was performed by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that tells us, yekara hi mipninim, that the Torah is more precious even than pninim, than pearls. And the Gemara says the word pninim means pearls. The word pninim is also a code word referring to the Kohen Gadol. Mi Kohen Gadol shenichnas lifnai v'lifnim. That the Torah, the Talmud Chacham, is more precious on a higher level than the Kohen Gadol, who was the only Jew who was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. Shedorshu Rabbi Seinazal, le'inyan mamzer Talmud Chacham, koidim le'Kohen Gadol Amoretz. The Gemara uses that pasuk as the source for teaching us that a Talmud Chacham, who is a mamzer, comes before, is to be treated with more respect than a Kohen Gadol Amoretz. And Rav Nosson Zal emphasizes, Iker Talmud Chacham al yedei emunas chachomim bebechin anal. And the real definition of Talmud Chacham is just that, Talmud Chacham. That no matter how advanced he becomes, no matter how much he learns, he's connected to somebody who's far greater than him. He's a student of a Chacham. Yehoshua, Reb Chaim Vital, Rebbe Akiva, all of these people were Talmid Chachamim. They had rabbis. And when they compare themselves to their rabbis, they consider themselves next to nothing. The Gemara says, one of the rabbis in the Gemara said, you want to know how much I received from my rabbis, how much knowledge and how much I grew from them? Like a dog licking from the ocean. That's how small he considered himself. That's how tiny, that's the fraction that he felt he had gotten from his rabbi compared to how great his rabbi was. That's how tiny I am in comparison. That's how little I took from him. So Rav Nosson Zal reiterates that the real definition of Talmud Chacham is one who, besides being very learned, he has the emunah in his own rabbis and the tzaddikim before him as to how great they really are. He recognizes that their words have tremendous depth. Unfortunately, in the modern world, even in Judaism, in different sectors that practice modern Judaism, they try to remove this from Yiddishkeit. They try to rationalize everything. No secrets of Torah, no Kabbalah, all of that is for other religions, they claim, Rahman al-Islam. They say Judaism is a very practical religion. It's all about halacha and customs, and even the halacha and customs, they try to rationalize to say that it's all about, just like other nations have their customs, every nation has some. So Hashem has given the Jews customs to give us an identity, to give us recognition, without believing that these customs have depth to them, that there's tremendous deep meaning behind every one of these customs. And unfortunately, they think they're Talmidei Chachamim, because they study halacha and they interpret it and define it the way they want to. Within the halacha, they choose what they choose to believe and accept. I saw an article, maybe it pays to put this on tape, you know, for whoever's going to hear it. There was an article in the Jewish press recently, a few days ago, that was written by a person. The title rabbi isn't used, but he presents himself as a halachic Jew, now living in Israel. He's Zionistic also. And he writes a long, long, elaborate article bashing Breslov, but not only Breslov, bashing anyone who believes in tzaddikim, and certainly graves of tzaddikim is something way out of the ballpark of Judaism, according to him. The halachic authorities, the Rambam, and some others that agreed with him were totally against a Jew entering into a cemetery. He probably buries his elders in the refrigerator. And one of the things he says that, again, has no existence in the framework of halacha, again, is graves of tzaddikim and associating with Rosh Hashanah in any way. Unfortunately, this very unenlightened halachic Jew has obviously not opened the halachic works, the standard halachic works, Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Brura, all these different flavors and versions of Shulchan Aruch, which write clearly that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the custom among observant Jews, observant, not reconstructionist, not destructionist Jews, the observant ones, is to visit the cemetery on Erev Rosh Hashanah to pray there that Hashem should help us in the merit of the dead that are buried there. That's one version of prayer. And there are other versions of prayer that are quoted by halachic authorities and great, great Jewish leaders of the past. But here again, this particular individual obviously is as far as one could possibly go from Emunas Chachamim, and therefore definitely does not come under the category, no matter what sources he will quote the Rambam's mother-in-law, still doesn't qualify whatsoever to be in the framework of Talmud Chacham. Because Talmud Chacham, the essence, line one, starting gate, is Emunah. And if a person has everything else but that, everything, they have chesed, they have chachma, they don't have emunah, they haven't entered into the door, into the doorway of Judaism. One more paragraph on this halacha, Rosh Hashanah. We say in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, Zeh hayoim tchilas ma'asecha. This is the day of the beginning of your works, of your creation. Meaning the creation day of Adam HaRishon, the day on which Adam HaRishon was created, who was the ultimate purpose of creation. And then Rav Nathan Zal quoted another pasuk, V'chol ma'aseihu be'emuna, that all of Hashem's ma'isim, all of Hashem's creations, referring to human beings, just like ma'asecha there meant Adam HaRishon, V'chol ma'aseihu, all of Hashem's creations, be'emuna. Tzrichin lahamshich emunas chachamim anal. This is emphasizing how much a Jew, a human being and a Jew, has to strive to draw upon themselves emunas chachamim. V'zeh b'chinas hatekiyos. And this is also tied into the shofar blowing, which is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Rosh Hashanah. K'mei shekosov shama, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 42 in Likutei Moran, which this halach is based on, Bechinas uru yeshenim mitardemaschem. The Gemara writes that the message of the shofar is, wake up, you who are asleep, wake up from your deep sleep. Sheloi titu chas v'sholom ki'ilu ha'olam yoshen. Rav Nosson Zal had mentioned earlier, what this is also referring to is that a person shouldn't mistakenly think that the world is sleeping. Meaning, the world is in a slumber state, that there's nothing deep and profound in the world. Sleep means like simple, very simple. Ki hine lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Because one of the definitions of Hashem is not asleep. He's very awake. He doesn't miss a beat. He sees everything, hands-on involvement in everything, everything controlling, guiding everything, for very meaningful reasons. Ki be'emes kulam b'chachmo sisa. Because the reality is that Hashem created everything with chachma, with deep knowledge and wisdom. V'chein manik ho'olam b'choleis b'chachma. And Hashem continues to lead the world and control the world with great chachma. V'yohiv chachmisa v'sachlanusa l'mevine mada. And Hashem gives this chachma, this deep wisdom, to those who qualify, those who are worthy, Shehem HaTzadikei Emes, which are the true tzadikim. Shelohem Nizgalu Kol Harozen. To them are revealed the secrets and the deep meaning behind creation. We mentioned before that scientists, other thinkers, can sometimes tell you what. They can tell you what happens when you mix A and B, or what this is, or what that is, and how they differ from each other. The why, in many cases, is missing. Why? Because they're missing the Hashem factor. They're missing that one little piece of the puzzle, that tiny piece as to who created all of this, who's operating all of this, and why is he doing it? What is his purpose? For that, you need the Torah. For that, you need to go inside the Torah. Those answers are only in the Torah, and it's only the true tzaddikim that really, really understand those answers properly and are capable of sharing it with us. As we find in the Navi, that Nebuchadnezzar, who was one of the greatest kings that ever lived, who controlled a major part of the world, he was able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash and everything, and Nebuchadnezzar at one point said, Adama lo elyon, I'm just like him. And then the Navi says that a short while later, when Hashem sent them down in all kinds of ways, he said, oops, I think I made a mistake. I'm not exactly like him. There's sort of a lot of big differences between me and him, as we find in the Navi, Nebuchadnezzar confessing that he didn't really realize that he's not so much like Hashem, that there's a lot of differences. V'chein b'chol dor v'doyer royin niflois Hashem v'noyroisov al yedei hatzadikei emes. And so too in all generations, even ours, even today, when we are living in Hastoro Shebetoich Hastoro, when Hashem is very, very hidden, Hashem said, I'm going to be hidden. I'm not going to be visible. Through the true tzaddikim, those who are zoichet to come close to the true tzaddikim will be zoichet to see Hashem, to see the wonders of Hashem and the awesome greatness of Hashem through these great tzaddikim. Just like we find the Gemara says in Shabbos, page 138, that the rabbis at one point, the rabbis of the Gemara came to a certain place, Kerem B'Yavne, and they said there's going to come a time when the Torah is going to be forgotten from the world, from Klal Yisrael. Asida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. What is the Torah? The Torah is Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Kutshe Barichu, the Yisrael, Vorai Sochadu. Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. So if we say the Torah is going to be forgotten, it means Hashem is going to be forgotten. We're going to have computers, technology, we're on the cell phone. Hashem is in the Himalayas. Hashem is somewhere billions of, what do you mean? As long as he minds his own, I'm doing great. I have my cell phone, my iPad, my I this, my, all my I alone, I can handle everything. If he just stays out of the way and minds his own, my life is running, no problem. Even within that Hastorah Shebetoich Hastorah, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal got up and said, the Torah will never be forgotten, that I have been privileged to introduce a light into the world, to reveal, again, the Zohar HaKadosh, which is one of the examples that Klal Yisrael has, that there are secrets. Until Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal came along, those secrets were only being passed down from mouth to mouth. Almost nobody, none of the tzaddikim were given permission to put it in writing, put it down on paper. So again, the majority of the world and even Klal Yisrael were unaware. They had no way of seeing these secrets of the Torah. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was one of the few that was given the zchus, the permission by Hashem, to put it in writing, to reveal the study of the secrets of Torah, Kabbalah. And even though it was written down during his time, they write at the end of the Zohar HaKadosh, it's written that now we're going to conceal this. After finishing these books, we're going to hide them because they're not yet ready to be revealed to the world. And when the time comes, which was around the year 1200, is when these writings, the Zohar HaKadosh, was discovered. And there were people that at first were skeptical. They weren't sure, is this really from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal? But the great tzaddikim at that time were contacted. They looked at it. They studied it. And they were able to authenticate that this is definitely the Zohar HaKadosh written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students, which was the beginning of opening up this world of secrets of Torah. The Arizal took it a step further. And the Arizal explained certain things in the Zohar HaKadosh, which even great Talmid Chachamim couldn't deal with at all, because they didn't have the order. Rav Rosenfeld used to refer to it as the geography of heaven. They didn't know the sequence, they had the worlds and the spheroids and all the different midos. But the Arizal went ahead and taught his student, Rav Chaim Vitalzal, in elaborate detail to clarify these teachings. Until today, there are tzaddikim that study these teachings, that are clarifying and re-clarifying to give Klal Yisrael an inkling, a tiny taste of the level of depth, the secrets that are found in every single word of the Chachamim, in Mishnayis, in Gemara, in Halacha, in every aspect of Judaism. The Chidozal, who was one of the great, great tzaddikim who lived in the 1700s, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azuloy, who was an authority in every branch of Yiddishkeit. In Halacha, he wrote Sforim of Halacha that are highly respected, the Birkei Yosef and other Sforim. In Drush, in Kabbalah, commentary on the Zohar Kodesh, in every field. The Chidozal writes that those Jews who mistakenly segregate the secrets of Torah, Kabbalah, that study of Torah, they segregate it from the rest of Yiddishkeit, saying that's not for us, or it's not... He says, about them is written the pasuk, Al tihiyu kisus kifered ein hovin. Don't be like a horse, like a mule that has no understanding. And he says that the word pered makes up the letters, the first letters of the words pshat, remez, drush. Those people who say, that's enough for me. If I live 1,000 years, I'm not going to finish what there is in pshat, remez, so why should I get involved in the secrets of the... That's for other people. He says a Jew who makes a conscious decision to put that on the side, to say, not interested or not, chas v'shalom, that person is in this category of pered, sus pered ein hoven. They don't understand Yiddishkeit. Their understanding of Yiddishkeit is very elementary, because the essence of Yiddishkeit, the pnimius of Yiddishkeit, one can only really understand and appreciate if they're zoicha to study those portions of Torah. The Zohar HaKadosh and the other Sforim. We know that the masters of Halacha, the Mishneh Berurah, for example, quotes the Zohar HaKadosh all over the place. The Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, the Rishonim, others that knew about it, all studied it, respected it, and quoted it. We should be zoicha through the proper Emunas Chachamim to be worthy of being considered in that category, in that arena of Talmidei Chachamim, those who want to study Torah, who want to grow, and those who believe and respect the tzaddikim and know that every word, every action of theirs has depth to it that's above and beyond what the eye meets. And Rav Nosson Zalayed says something we don't see everywhere, V'oid tzrichen ledaber bozeh, we still need to talk about this further, Ulevayer calls it, and to explain all of this. A person who heard the past 20 pages of this halacha would say, what more is there to explain? What more is there to say? If Rav Nosson Zal says that we still need to talk about this, he understood that this wasn't a simple matter, that this is going to be one of the greatest struggles within Klal Yisrael. And this is part of that definition of hastara betoich hastara, that you could have Jews who are religious, who are knowledgeable, and yet they're missing the point, or they're missing a certain essence of Yiddishkeit without which it does not hit the mark. It doesn't make it yet. We see that there are giants, many giants in different generations that fell. The Gemara tells a story of Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, the rabbi of Rabbi Meir, who fell, Rachman al-Sin, who became an apikoiris, and other giants. We should be zeicha to take this lesson seriously and to devote time and effort and tefillah, pleading with Hashem that we should be zeicha to real emuna, vayaminu b'Hashem uv'moish avdoi. We know at the end of Yitzias Mitzrayim, after all the fireworks that Hashem displayed in taking the Jews out of Golos Mitzrayim and bringing us to Matan Torah and Teretz Yisrael, the Torah says there that the Jews saw the great hand of Hashem and what Hashem had done for Mitzrayim. And what did it lead to? Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'moish avdoi. It led them to achieve the ultimate, which was believing in Hashem and his servant Moshe Rabbeinu. And the written Torah, this is not a Hasidish Sefer, the Torah Shebichsav puts them side by side, side by side, that these two go together. Faith in Hashem and faith in Moshe Rabbeinu go together. If a person wants to separate them, chas v'shalom, then they're studying something other than Judaism, other than authentic Judaism. Baruch Hashem. Hilchas Cheskas Karkois, new topic, the law of finding ownership of property, real estate, in terms of possession. When a person possesses a piece of property, how long does it have to be in his possession for us to be able to assume that it belongs to him? Cheskas karkois shaloshonim. A chazoka on property is defined by 3 years. If a person is on a piece of land for 3 years, then unless somebody can prove differently, we're going to assume that it belongs to them. Al pima shekosav Rabbeinu Neiro Yoyer Simen Samachtes. This halacha will be based on what Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 69 in Likutei Moran. Umevur leil kama pomim, and we've discussed this previously several times. Now, by the fact that Rabbi Nosson Zal says Rabbeinu Neiro Yoyer, it means he's writing this while Rabbeinu Zal was still living. Ki shoyresh hanefesh ba'ashirus. Our souls are rooted in wealth. The place from where our soul originates from is the same place as wealth originates from, which is the Kisei HaKovoy, the throne of Hashem. It's called the throne of glory. The Gemara uses the expression that the souls are carved out, Chatzuvim Mitachas Kisei HaKovoy, and we know that wealth and Kovoy go together. We say, V'ho'osher V'hakovoy Milfonecho, that wealth also comes from that same place. V'ikar Ho'ashirus Hema Karkois, and real wealth is real estate, property. Ki kol mine ashirus vafilu kesev ezov hakol yoytze min horetz. Because all types of wealth, any kind of wealth you're going to talk about, originates from the earth, from the land. Gold, silver is mined. V'horetz hu shoyresh kol hanefoshos. And the earth is also the source of all souls. K'may shekosuv, Toitse ho'oretz nefesh chaya. Let the earth give forth living beings. Nimtza, kishekoine karka, nitvasef loy chiyus for nefesh. So therefore, when a person acquires land, he's acquiring soul. He's acquiring life. Life comes from the earth. Life, wealth. Vizeh sham rabbi senuzal, and this is why the Gemara says in Yevamos, page 63, kol mi she'en loy karka, ene odom. A person who does not own land is not a person. Ki geder ha'odom humedaber. Because man is defined by speech. Dahainu sheyesh loy koyach hadibur. A human being has an intelligent level of speech. Uboze humuvdol minachai. And that distinguishes us from animals. V'nikro odom. We are called odom. V'hadibur hu hanefesh. And the dibur, speech, is also the essence of the person, the soul of the person. K'may shekosov Rabbeinu Neiro Yoyer, as Rabbeinu Zal writes several times. K'may shekosov, as the pasuk says, Vayehi ho'odom lenefesh chaya, that Odom became a living being, the Targum says, leruach memalala, a spirit that speaks. So we see that alive is dibur. The life of a human being is defined by that intellectual level of speech. V'shoyresh hanefesh u'bashirus hanal. And we said before that the soul is rooted in wealth. Nimtza she'ikar koyach hadibur sha'idei zeh nikra adam hu'idei ashirus. So therefore also, a person's speech, we said that the soul is connected to wealth and the soul is connected to speech. There's a pasuk, nafshi yotza bedabroi, my nefesh comes forth in my speech. So therefore, Rav Nosson says, so we see that the koyach hadibur of a person is also defined by wealth. Ikar koyach hadibur shaydei zeh nikra odom huaydei ashirus. The power of speech, which is what defines a human being, is affected by wealth. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is why the pasuk says in Koheles, he'oshir yane azus, that wealthy people talk fresh. They talk brazenly. They'll say something to somebody's face that another person wouldn't say, but because this guy's rich, he's not afraid. He can say whatever he wants. Ki azus v'toikef hadibur hu al yedei ashirus kanal. Because chutzpah and powerful speech are affected by wealth. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the pasuk says in Mishlei chapter 8. Shimu, listen. Ki negide madaber. Because I'm talking wealth. Shalidei hanegidus voashirus, ayidei zeh adibur kanal. Through wealth and power, that's what gives a person that ability to speech. He'll get up and talk. A person who is poor, chas v'shalom, or feels poor, they feel it, they can't talk. They're embarrassed, ashamed to speak. We'll hold it over here for now. V'shoyresh voashirus v'anefesh.